702.
Summer holidays.
It's going on 7:35 on this Sunday, the 19th of December. And if you've just tuned in, you're right on time to talk travel on Weekend Breakfast. We've ditched our sustainability conversations just for now, and we thought, why not explore places, gems, hidden spots right on our doorstep, or perhaps even further afield, places we've never thought to visit or are yet to do so that are on our bucket list. Why not highlight them today? And joining us this morning for our travel focus, for giving us some tips and tricks for traveling throughout the continent, are Frank Masilela and Dumi Mbakanyane. They are the co-founders of Blackpackers, and I'm really keen to hear what their insights are in terms of what they've learned of when it comes to exploring our beautiful continent, especially in light of the fact that we were recently red-listed, banned from traveling to certain countries because of this Omicron variant. Needlessly so, we've had that conversation. Of course, those have all been rescinded. But I think what so many South Africans discovered and established during this lockdown period and this COVID period is that right here on our doorstep, our neighboring countries have really got so much to offer. And why in the world are we not taking advantage of it? So let's welcome to Weekend Breakfast co-founders of Blackpackers, Frank Masilela. Good morning, Frank.
Morning, how are you?
I'm exceedingly well. I trust the same applies to you.
Yes, I am. I look finally on a holiday break.
Oh, isn't that nice? Abanye bethu siyasebenza.
No.
Wow, that worked. Dumi Mbakanyane, welcome to Weekend Breakfast. Hi.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Dumi. My producer is very, very naughty. We spoke about Blackpackers, and I was like, oh, yeah, sounds absolutely fantastic. And it dawned on me about half an hour ago that I'll be chatting to my cousin. Also you, not sending an SMS to say, by the way. Very sneaky. Let's talk about Blackpackers, guys. I'm going to start with you, Frank, and give us a sense, you know, just give us a sense of why Blackpackers was established. What compelled you? And I'm guessing it was being blown away by a few beautiful sights along the way.
Yeah, so it started for two reasons. One was very impulsive. In 2018, myself and Dumi found out that a plane ticket ride from Johannesburg to Kigali, Rwanda was $200. So we made a very impulsive purchase that kind of forced us to plan a whole trip around it as the months went on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the second reason was because we really wanted to encourage particularly young Black millennials to pick up backpack traveling because it's a cheaper way of traveling and getting to explore the world, and in particular to explore our continent, just to show people that you can do it in an affordable and sustainable way without having to break bank or have like super wealthy parents to fund your trip. So one was the impulse and the curiosity, and mm-hmm. the second one was to just show people what's possible.
Mm. Dumi, obviously, that initial trip made a very, very big impression on you. Just give us a sense of what that was and what it opened your eyes to, traveling to Kigali, spending time there, but also doing it in a way that, you know, I almost said forced you to, but doing it in a way that really made sure that you were connecting with everyday Rwandans.
So, I mean, we actually visited a few countries in East Africa, but I think the biggest takeaway, or I think the most valuable thing I took from it was the insight about our own country. And just like, you know, East Africans have this incredible action orientation. They have, they've got like this, this, I guess, individual responsibility to contribute to the development of their own countries and that sort of thing. And I think what we took from that was just the developmental differences between South Africa and East African countries. But, mm-hmm. yeah, it was just an incredible way to learn about the continent, to learn about East Africa as a region. But it was also a really, really a profound way to learn about South Africa. So, yeah, I think that was probably the most important takeaway from our trip. But yeah, incredibly insightful experience. I would absolutely recommend it. I think it's very, very important. And I think we're probably among the only African countries that don't have the culture of traveling between, like, intracontinentally, you know, a bus from Kigali to Rwanda, or a flight from Kigali to Rwanda. A flight from Kigali to Kampala or Nairobi is incredibly, incredibly cheap. But we don't do that here. We don't travel to Zambia. We don't travel to Zimbabwe. And it's a pity and a shame, you know.
Sure. And we'll delve into, I guess, what tended to be the surprise and, you know, the lovely or shock discovery of exactly what it was that we had been neglecting, overlooking on our doorstep when it comes to what people finally discovered under lockdown as they traveled intracontinentally. Frank, your own, Dumi's alluded to the fact that traveling, leaving home, taught him so much about home. What did traveling for you teach you about South Africa?
Jeez, a lot. I don't want to lie. So there's something about traveling that makes you, like, there's a couple of things that you dislike about South Africa when you step outside, and then there are many, many things that you just appreciate about South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I must agree with Dumi. I think the cultures and societies are so different. The sense of personal responsibility is so, so different, just because people tend to take more initiative for their communities and things like that in other African countries. Another thing I realized as well is how popular South Africa is. I didn't think we're that popular, but like everywhere you go, people always want to talk about Mandela, and it sounds like a stereotype, but it really is real. Like, I remember when we were in Ethiopia, they were telling us that the prime minister who was recently elected wore a T-shirt with the Mandela top on. I was like, wow, this is nice. Does that mean we get a free coffee? Or, you know? So that's one of the things. But I think what I really appreciate about South Africa is when you travel, you start to realize what a convenient country South Africa is. Because when we're in Kenya, we rented a car because we wanted to drive from Nairobi to Mombasa. And on our drive there, we realized that we only ran into like two petrol station restaurant one-stop shop types. You know, like the engine one-stop shop that we have here.
That are ubiquitous.
You know, we take it so much for granted. Like between here and Nelspruit, where I'm from, there are about four or five. But there, on a journey, the equivalent of Joburg to Durban, they were like two. So you start to realize a couple of those differences as well in the convenience of traveling. And yeah, that was quite fascinating as well.
Absolutely. All right. So I guess a large part of the work or the fun that you guys have at Blackpackers is, as you said, Dumi, encouraging young Black millennials to travel, explore the continent. But there are also questions that no doubt arise. So your Instagram page is beautifully curated. But, you know, behind the scenes or in the comments, what tend to be the questions that people that have yet to travel, what are they asking you? What kind of advice are they looking for?
Definitely big concerns about safety. You know, I think countries like Rwanda and Ethiopia are probably a safe and bed for people traveling in smaller groups or traveling alone, especially for women. If, you know, if women are going to be traveling alone or in small groups with other women, I think safety is definitely an important consideration to plan a trip around. So yeah, I think safety is probably one of the bigger considerations. But I also just think that, like, you know, Bongani spoke about how, you know, there's one-stop shop between Mombasa and Nairobi. You
sure.
know, like, there's you don't really realize the reality that South Africa is, at least on the continent, that there's a developmental exception, and it can be really, really inconvenient. There are a lot of inconveniences in traveling the continent that you do have to be mindful of when planning your trip. So I think a lot of the other questions sort of revolve around that. But I think it's nothing too onerous. And if anything, if you're the kind of person who can derive a sense of adventure from what would seem like an inconvenience, then you know, traveling, you're the perfect person for traveling the continent. So, I'd say safety, but I'd also just say, the other questions related to just like, you know, what is it like? And I'd say keep an open mind.
All right. So no doubt the internet has made research and understanding various countries, customs requirements, etc., and visa applications much, much easier. But it seems that border hassles are still a thing. Frank, how did you guys negotiate that, and how do you advise that potential travelers do so too?
So there is a website, as far as like visas and things like that are concerned, there's a website called eVisa that we visited, and that was basically able to sort out all of our visa applications. But the first thing I would tell people is, and this is sort of what we try to do intentionally, whenever you're going to visit a number of countries, try and make sure that they're in the same region. And also try and make sure that they're in the same political organization type body. So, for example, for us, traveling through East Africa was easier because they have a single visa regime system where if you apply for the East African visa, you can visit all the countries in East Africa without any hassles. So we were able to apply for that through the IUSD visa, which cost a bit more money. But Dumi and another friend of ours used, I think they used the Rwandan embassy straight or the Rwandan online system, and they're able to get their visas. It says you're supposed to get it in like 5 days. They got them in like 12 hours or something. The Rwandans were very quick. So I would say definitely research, like, are those countries a collection in a political body with one visa system? That's way cheaper and way more convenient for you as well. As far as airlines are concerned, there are a couple of apps that you can use to obviously search for the cheapest flights. There's one called Hopper. There's one called Skyscanner. But to be honest, I think the default most affordable airline in Africa is by far Kenyan Airways. Like, if you're looking, sometimes don't even bother looking at other airlines. Just go to Kenyan Airways straight, and you might find that they offer the cheapest flights across the continent. That's some of the research that we're able to do.
Let's talk money now, Dumi. How did you guys navigate that? Currencies, etc. I mean, I'm taking it for granted that I can just take my South African bank card. First of all, call my bank, say I'm traveling, these are the countries I'll be in, and I'll find an ATM wherever I land and withdraw money there. The days of hassling over cash surely are over.
Sure. I think those facilities still exist. You know, you still have the ability to draw money out of an ATM using your own bank card, so long as you have a Visa bank card or a MasterCard or whatever bank cards are called these days. But I think there is a degree of informality in navigating, you know, exchange rates and that sort of thing. I think, Mungani will correct me, but I think we had taken a bus from Rwanda to Uganda in Kampala, and on our arrival in Kampala, our first stop, one of the two petrol stations that Mungani alluded to, had a guy who came onto the bus was like a really, really thick wad of shillings, and we did our currency exchange on the bus. And obviously, there's like, I think the his exchange rate is different to a fish exchange rate because we got ripped off quite badly. So I think be mindful of the informality, you know, because there's a lot of space to be, and I guess it's true for any country, right? But there's a lot of space to be exploited there. But I think there's a large degree of informality in navigating currency exchanges and that sort of thing. But I also think another thing that, you know, we were quite struck by is that the cost of living in East Africa, and particularly countries like, I think Uganda particularly, was quite high actually. So yep. I think from a cost perspective, that's something to be mindful of. I think accommodation wasn't particularly cheap. Food was quite expensive. So, you know, I know we're supposed to be evangelizing cheap travel, but go there with a healthy sort of like reserve backup emergency fund, so that when, you know, when you are confronted by unexpected expenses, you're able to not starve.
A final word to you, Frank. Your advice for anyone skeptical. We know that Instagram goals necessitate sometimes poolside chilling, perhaps flying off to Dubai. Is that still a thing? Final word around exploring the continent and, you know, staying close to home, actually, on the benefits of it.
Funny enough, I was on Instagram like 5 minutes before this call started, and there's a page that I follow called Breakfast with a View, and it's literally what you're describing now. It's these perfect shots of breakfast in front of iconic places in Europe mainly. But, you know, what struck me about looking at those pictures is I asked myself, what was the person taking the picture going through? And are their best memories captured on camera, or are their best memories in their brain right now? And so I think when you're traveling to Africa, you know, understand that it might not be for those perfect Instagram shots with cappuccinos in front of the Colosseum or the Eiffel Tower or whatever, but the memories that you make are incomparable to any other part of the world you could ever travel to. And so I think for me, it's your intentions must be sincere, and your intentions must be to make really exceptional memories that can't be made anywhere else. And so, like Dumi said, like if you're an adventurous person, I'd highly encourage you to travel throughout the continent. If you're someone who's curious about how societies work, I'd highly encourage you to travel throughout the continent. I remember when we went to Ethiopia, we were so struck by the fact that there are no McDonald's, there are no Burger Kings, there's no Domino's, there aren't even South African businesses like ShopRite and Steers. Like it's a country on its own, untainted by globalization. And that's something special that you just cannot find anywhere else in the world anymore, except like North Korea. So I would say if you're really, really looking for those authentic experiences, definitely opt for traveling throughout the continent, because for the next couple of decades, some of these countries might be the only truly unique and authentic places left in the world that aren't tainted by globalization. So those are the adventures you're going to find.
Thank you so much to both of you for your time. Frank Masilela, Dumi Pakanyane, co-founders of The Black Packers. You can find them on Instagram, and the handle is exactly that, the _Black Packers.